listeners, and welcome to Canuck is a Slur, a podcast about cool, cursed, curious, cringe, clubbing, cranky, car-jumping, kid-friendly, constitutional, cubic, Quebecois, cooperative, Calgarian, cup-winning, and creepy Canadian culture and history. My name's Nicole, and this is a very special episode because of all the culturally significant, historically important, and truly illuminating subjects that we'll be covering over the course of this show. Today's topic is absolutely none of those things.
And do you know what today's topic is, Nicole?
No, not at all. The caption on the page you just showed me said Secret Nicole episode, so...
Yeah, I had to change all the labeling on everything because it was originally labeled with the topic, but it was very important to keep the secret.
It was very much giving the vibes of like in a cartoon when there's a file and it's labeled top secret, like with a big stamp on it. It was very conspicuous. I'm kind of excited.
And my name's Kelly. I'll be the co-host today for as long as this intro lasts, basically. That's how long the kayfabe goes. You know, I complimented you when we did the Tim Horton episode, which is that you... Well, you're kind of the shower drain of topics on this show, which...
Beg your fucking pardon?
Well, okay, so this topic was... So this was a script I originally wrote for someone else.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I'm just getting your cast-off shows.
Well, I wrote the script for somebody else, and I will bleep out the name. It was... And this person was not able to do the show after all, I guess. And I think this is very serendipitous because it is, as always, longer than I planned. And despite the fact that I was like, well, Nicole is the catch-all, Nicole can do any topic, I think there is some relevance to what you've been on the show for before.
Totally.
This is maybe a little bit of a peek behind the curtain, but I kind of like the idea of having somewhat thematic guests. So as people know, you know, whenever we talk about Don Cherry, we have Lucas and Jules on. Tanner is sort of obviously the boat guy. Quinn is the rocket guy, and so on, right? As much as I can do that. So given that, I think this is a bit thematic for you. So does that give you an idea of what we might be talking about today? What would you say the themes of your previous episode were?
So I was going to say it's totally makes sense for it to be a theme that I'm just the catch-all, because I did have in high school, people would just give me their leftovers from lunch. And it got to the point where my friends just called me Garburator for a while, which was probably not my most flattering nickname, but okay. I really learned to embody it, and I'm glad it's following me into my adult life.
Well, they called me the catch-all in high school too, but for different reasons. For our non-Canadian listeners, do you want to explain what a Garburator is?
Is Garburator a Canadian term?
Pretty much, yeah, as far as I know, yeah.
Oh, okay. A Garburator is a set of blades that is in your sink that you, if you have leftover food, you shove it down the hole and then you get your hands out of the way and then you flick a switch and it cuts up all the food so that it can go down the drain. More of a pop culture reference that more people might be familiar with. If you've watched Small Soldiers, in the scene where the kid takes one of the soldiers, turns him upside down and puts him in the sink and then flips it on, that was the Garburator.
Yeah, like other places have them, they just don't call them Garburator.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they have to at least have them in the States, or that wouldn't have happened in Small Soldiers.
Yeah, Americans, I believe, call it a garbage disposal.
But
I put my credit card in the garbage disposal.
But what, garbage disposal isn't, it's not for garbage. Like, you wouldn't throw, like, plastic packaging in there. It's for food, specifically.
I wouldn't put it past them to put plastic packaging in there, some
I mean,
of them.
I mean, I guess the kid in Small Soldiers put a whole fucking toy in there, so.
Yeah.
Actually, sorry, this is going to be a tangent, but Garburators are much less common now than they used to be. I remember having one in most of the houses I had growing up, and then at some point people were like, I assumed it was because people keep shoving their hands in there.
Well, I mean, it's so tempting.
And it's a liability.
It's just a beautifully hand-sized hole.
It definitely has like a Call of the Void feel to it, like a jumping, like if you know, standing on a bridge and you're like, maybe I should jump. It's like that, but Garburator.
Yeah. Have you shoved your hand in Garburator before?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, what if you need to pull shit out?
I was never old enough to be the person that dealt with that. I would be like, Mom, I fucked up and put something in the Garburator. And she'd be like, okay, go stand in the corner while I deal with this.
Just as far away from the sink as possible.
I have a healthy fear of Garburators, and I think it's because my mom was terrified that we were going to put our hands in there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm terrified of putting my hands in one. So I never had one when I was young. The first time was like 5 years ago when I was living in sort of a, to use a non-Canadian term, a share house. But like, you know, I was living with all these roommates.
What is a share house? Where is that term?
Okay, I believe it's an Australianism, and it's a really good one because it, you know, when you were in university, like that kind of age, and like your first time you move out and you just live with people who also need roommates, and everyone's kind of in their early 20s, and like, you know, you're necessarily having to share things like spaces and kitchenware and whatever.
Yes. Do you remember that nightmare?
Right. But like, it's the thing that most normal people do at some point because everyone has to just like, you know, be doing their Bambi legs thing of finding their way in the world, or, you know, like, or just being a student who doesn't have the money to do anything else. I don't know. I've almost never really had the money to live on my own anyway. I feel like I'm often trying to tell people about a place that I lived where I was like, you know, I was living in a house with roommates, you know, like a bunch of roommates. And in Australia, just say, yeah, like I lived in a share house, and everyone knows exactly what you mean.
In Switzerland, they call it a WG.
Oh?
A WG, but in German, and it means like something. I don't remember what the translation is directly or what that extrapolates to, but it's just you just say vegay and people know, and that's exactly what it is.
They called me vegay in high school too, but that's for different reasons. And speaking of Switzerland, we are sitting here in your slightly echoey living room in beautiful Zurich, Switzerland. And because I'm here visiting you, so that's why it sounds different for all of the highly attuned audio nerds. It's a special occasion when we get together because you are Eurotrash now.
Yes, correct.
So the last time we recorded, when we recorded the Tim Horton series, was when you came to Edmonton very briefly for like a day, and all we did was talk about Tim Horton.
For the record, I was in Edmonton for much longer than a day. It was just, I was only at your place recording for a day.
You were only willing to interact with me for a day. Yeah, but I have been here for a week. I got hassled by some border cops. I had to pay to take a piss. Incredible country. There's no Wi-Fi.
I would say, overall accepted view of Switzerland from people that have moved here is, sucks to vacation here, awesome to live here. If you are like living here, working and making a Swiss wage and like getting to enjoy the quality of life, it's awesome. If you're here part-time and you like don't have a visa, as you found out, like if you're just here visiting and you don't have a return flight, turns out they'll hassle you at the border. If you're not like, yeah, making a Swiss wage, kind of sucks. If you don't have a phone that's set up with Wi-Fi, also stinky. It's, yeah, not a great tourist destination, but...
Yeah. Oh, to make a Swiss wage. I mean, the cost I spent on one beer here is like how you can live for a week in Vietnam. That was a $25 beer. Insane.
Do you want me to tell you how much I make an hour babysitting here?
Sure.
I make 30 Swiss francs an hour.
Fuck off.
Which for you, I don't know, Canadians out there, that translates to like 45 bucks an hour. It's about 30 American as well, 30 euros. So
yeah, I think it's even more than 45. That's like, you're making like concrete foreman money.
It's yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. I've never made this much money before in my life, including the job that I worked at for 4 years and got several certificates in.
So the one big ticket thing is actually a good segue into what I want to talk about before we get to the topic. Because I feel like it's worth kind of catching people up. Most people probably don't know a lot of the background here. So I was working in EMS in Alberta, and I realized it sucked ass. I'd saved enough money, decided to quit my jobs and try to do a podcast full time.
As you do.
Yeah, as everyone kind of does in their, you know, finding themselves in their gap year and their... early-ish 30s. It's just sort of...
As a white man in your 30s, this is honestly just a milestone in your life.
Yeah.
Everyone's got to go through that phase.
But also, like, I am deadly serious about wanting to do this as a job. So this is why our patrons are so appreciated. And I said appreciated, I know. But you gave me a look.
I wasn't going to say anything, but...
Yeah. Well, a lot of shows, they'll thank their new patrons every episode. And I was like, well, I've never even said shit to thank the patrons. So I thought it would be nice to do a little segment where we thank our patrons. So I actually dug up an old segment theme. Like, this is pre-Canuck as a slur. This is like old Born Under Punches stuff. But it is the Compliments Corner theme.
Oh, no.
That's terrific beatboxing by Nicole on that theme.
That was, yeah. And honestly, the harmonizing was flawless.
Yeah. So what I want to do is we're going to kind of split the duties here, which is I have the list of paying patrons in front of me.
Okay.
So that's my job, is to have the list, and your job is to give everyone a compliment.
Based on just whatever...
Anything you want, because you're so good at giving compliments.
Right. Including to people that I don't know and have never met before.
You can compliment anything you want. Like, most of them are in our Discord.
Okay. Are you going to list them by their Discord name?
I'm going to give you as much to work with as possible.
Okay, perfect. So good. I can do this.
Let's just go in order of chronological order of patrons. So we have three levels of patrons. There is the good old Canadian boy level, which is two American dollars a month, confusingly enough.
Mm-hmm.
Translate that how you will. Then you have I might as well just do the pitch. So the good old Canadian boy level, you get expanded access to our Discord. And I mean, that's most of it. It's just, I created that as my friends who want to support me, but won't actually listen to it tier.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the $5 good old Ontario boy level. And so that gets you the bonus episodes. That's kind of the main thing. That's the standard tier. So most people here are at that tier.
Are you able to sign up for that if you aren't from Ontario?
Yes, because I think basically everyone on that tier is not from Ontario.
Okay.
And then finally, you have the good old Kingston boy level, which I really, again, was struggling to come up with separate tiers of perks, because lots of people will do like different amounts of bonus content a month. So it's like one bonus episode at one tier, two bonus episodes, another tier. I'm doing one bonus episode a month. So that's what you get. So I was like, you know what? This is just for the people who, I don't know, just throwing out an example, make $21,000 a month selling Christmas lights. Like, you could just give me $15 is the idea. Sorry, $10, $10 US, two, five and $10 US. And yeah, so I offered the good old Kingston boy level. I will draw them a custom piece of art every month on an index card.
Fantastic.
So patreon.com/Canuck as a slur if you want to help out there. Like I've said, I took a one-way trip across the ocean because I am also wanting to do some work visas before I get too disgustingly old and busted for them to even let me in. Being able to have the Patreon support me in doing that is instrumental in me not kind of like starving in the streets of France like Bart Simpson.
I mean, if you're going to starve in any streets, France is probably the way to go, because then there's always a chance that a rat will come and make you a delicious meal.
Oh, Ratatouille. I was trying to think of the Simpsons episode and I was like, I don't remember that scene.
I don't remember the Simpsons episode, but I do remember Ratatouille.
Okay. Yeah, so that's just kind of my little pitch on why even as much as $2 a month actually goes a massively long way, because my plan is to actually go somewhere with a slightly lower cost of living than Switzerland, so that your Patreon dollars actually go much farther in me being able to consistently do this on a full-time basis. So without further ado, we're going to thank every one of the patrons so far. So let's start chronologically. The first person on our Patreon is Nicole McCoy.
Oh, well, right off the bat, I'm going to go ahead and say beautiful name. I can sense like a really nice energy coming off of that person. She seems like the person that would like host someone in their living room to record a podcast for a week and give up
to record a podcast for a week. That seems exhausting.
It does seem exhausting, and you wouldn't think that it would take a week, but it turns out.
Yeah, I think McCall sounds very nice and very generous. I was going to add something mean, but I'm like, I'm just not. We're doing compliments corner. Fair, we're being nice.
To be fair, I immediately went into compliments corner with a very passive aggressive energy. So mm-hmm. we can. You could throw a little mean back at me. It would make me feel like less of a dick. Make sure that people really know how much of a sacrifice this is to have you on my couch for a week.
It is actually, I mean, really just the funny thing is that you are paying for the privilege of being on this show right now.
Yeah, I'm paying for exposure. Is that what's happening?
Yeah. Yes. It's to advertise your novel.
Totally.
Which novel is almost done, right?
Yeah. I've got, you know, 8 whole chapters and how many more chapters do you want?
Honestly, that's 6 more than I thought you had done. So great job.
Wow.
You told me to be mean.
That's fair. I did say that.
Although now that you have told me how much you make per hour babysitting, I'm kind of wondering if you should be at the $10 tier.
This is a very recent development. And also I am saving up to buy a house. So,
okay.
And then when we have a house, then I'll pay you back in that you can come and record at our house there.
Oh, hell yeah. So next up, we have Cariad. Cariad is in our Discord, does a podcast, Schwinnigan Moments.
I have
assure
listened
you
to,
listened to all yeah, my appearances. Actually, oh, you did?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, I'm nice.
Not all of your appearances. I don't think I've listened to any of the episodes with you in them.
Oh, you just listened to some of them.
Yes, well, I have listened to
what
you.
What a nice
some
thing
of,
to do.
I have listened to some of Schwinnigan Moments. So I will say, Carrie, it has a wonderful podcast. Definitely check it out. Fun energy.
Awesome. So next up, these are both of the good old Ontario boy level. Next up, we have Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo.
Okay, well, I mean, again, fantastic name.
Fantastic name. Might be a pseudonym. So I don't actually know if Josie wants to remain anonymous here. So obviously, we're not going to blow up the identity of who that is.
Right, totally. We would never tell the world who Josie is.
No. Or who her favorite fascist is. We just watched the clip for our sound check where Josie sang the praises of Pol Pot. So that was a lot of fun. And we won't be giving any context on that.
All right. Hit me with the next one.
All right. Next one. Same tier. Tanner Johnson.
Oh, hell yeah. Tanner. First of all, excellent character building in our role play games that we did together. That was I always enjoyed having Tanner. But if you're a fan that has been listening since the Born Under Punches days, then you all know that Tanner is fun and hilarious and just an excellent person to be around.
Shout out to Tanner for being the only person willing to do the role-playing version of our show more than once. In fact, he did it 4 times, which he deserves some kind of medal for that. So,
I mean, I don't know about willing, but he sure did it.
That's true.
I don't know how you blackmailed him onto the show, but I appreciated that you went through that effort.
Yeah, I don't divulge my secrets. So next patron, again, $5 a tier. This is Sean. So this is, I don't know how to pronounce it, Enotile in the Discord, who I don't think has posted a lot, but is from Josie's Discord. So if you want, you can just give another compliment to Josie.
Yeah, like catch-all compliment to Josie. Did I compliment Josie?
No, I think we kind of blew past that.
We just talked about her favorite fascist and moved on. Yeah, Josie, I thought did an excellent job at that, in the election episode. The shit cunts who just lost their seats was a very fun PowerPoint to go through with her.
And we may or may not have another one out by the time this is out. It depends. There's a lot going on in real life.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Next up, we have Angry Old Man Yada Yada, same tier.
Is that just you?
Spiritually, yes. So this person, I noticed they're a patron on the Lions Up by Donkeys Discord and then hopped onto our Patreon, has posted in neither server. So I think this person likes to lurk.
Mm.
So
I do love a good lurker. There's not enough people that know how to keep their shit to themselves.
Because this person has a Discord account, cares enough to join the servers on multiple fronts. Because sometimes it's like, okay, you don't post on my server because you post on another one. That makes sense. Everyone's kind of got the ones that they like hang out in and the ones they post in.
Mm-hmm.
But this one's like 2 for 2 on not posting. So this might actually just be like the federal agent kind of person that is keeping an eye on a lot of the podcasts out there.
Okay. Well, in that case, like, thanks for supporting. I appreciate that they're not only checking the Discord and following us there to make sure that we aren't doing any war crimes, but also, well, federal agents don't necessarily make sure you don't do war crimes. But I appreciate the commitment to, you know, paying you as well. That's nice.
Yeah, like I've been given $5 US several months over at this point, and I have not been arrested or even questioned.
Mm-hmm.
Except for by the Swiss border police. Do you think they tipped off the Swiss border police?
They might have tipped off the Swiss border police.
Fucking, I will. If I see you, angry old man, yada yada, it's on site. So that was a compliment.
Next, thank you for diverting federal funds our way.
Yeah. So next we have Witch Pixels, which is Tamarack from Schwinnigan Moments.
Ah, okay.
So try to come up with a really original compliment that isn't just rehashing your compliment to carry it.
I believe Tamarack uses they them pronouns or yes. its pronouns.
Yes.
And that is the first time I had ever heard that. Oh, I don't know. I didn't even notice if you fucked up.
I don't think I used a pronoun. Anyway, go on.
I had never heard that before. And so I wanted to say thank you for Tamarack for introducing me to that particular set of pronouns. I specifically remember because at some point they were like, I keep saying it's, and I think people think it's a bit and it's not, and I need to clarify that. And I was like, ah, okay. So,
yeah.
Thank you for teaching me a new thing.
And we have utterly failed to give our pronouns, mine of which are he, him.
I'm she, her. Very boring, I know.
And our, yeah. Yeah. Shame on us. So next up, Mud Manish. So this is Quinn from Failure to Launch.
Ah, okay.
Which by the scrambled look on your face, you haven't listened to.
I believe I listened to one episode. Did they do a Leica? Oh,
damning.
Yeah, they did. Episode about Leica? Okay, I listened to the Leica episode. It made me very sad, so.
Just never went back to it.
thank you for making me feel a thing. I also feel like they post in the Discord quite frequently, and it's usually things that I like notice and engage with.
By frequently, do you mean like never?
They're in the music round.
No, that's someone else.
Okay.
Are you thinking of Jack?
No, I'm thinking of someone that has a Discord named Mubmanish.
I think you're high.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it's not
Moosin? You're thinking of Moosin.
Maybe it's not Music League, but I thought I had seen them post elsewhere.
Well, maybe you guys are just in a secret channel that I'm not.
Oh, shit. I forgot about that. Sorry, Quinn. I didn't mean to expose this like that.
Yeah, it's the shit talking Kelly channel, I bet. All right. So we finally have our first $2 good old Canadian boy. So this is Ben. Ben is from the Bunta Vista server, and I believe so they live in Luxembourg right now. So that's kind of neat.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
They're quite close.
So my compliment is pending. Ben, can I stay on your couch? Can I check out Luxembourg?
My compliment would be like, good on you for moving to also a very expensive country, because...
You're assuming that Ben isn't Luxembourgish.
Oh, aren't they from the Bunta Vista podcast?
No, from the Discord.
From the Discord. Yeah. Ah, okay. I thought you said they were on the show. Okay.
No.
Okay, so they're not an Australian person that has moved to Luxembourg. They are potentially a Luxembourgishian.
Luxembourgishian, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, next we have our first patron on the $10 good old Kingston boy tier. And by the way, the first patron at every tier gets a special role in the Discord. You get the title belt.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do I have a title belt?
Yeah, you have the overall Patreon title belt.
Yes.
Which you hold on to until such time as you stop paying. So.
Ah, okay.
So skipping over the overall title belt, the specific Ontario title belt is held by Cariad. The specific Canadian title belt is held by Ben. And the Kingston title belt is held by this next person, Oil Drum.
Oil Drum.
Oil Drum. Yeah, so this...
Oil Drum up some support for that person. Hell with this compliment.
Yeah, I have no context for who Oil Drum is.
I mean, are they from Alberta? Because that name would check out.
I'm trying to find the... I don't think they've posted, but when I said, hey, like, post your request for art in this thread, they reacted to it. So they're aware of it. They have not actually put in any of their requests for art yet. I now owe them like 3 months worth of art. So I'm very afraid that Oil Drum is just going to... like wait until like a year is up and be like, here's 12 commissions, go. And I fear that the artistic quality will suffer.
That's like my landlord that fucking would never deposit our rent checks until like 3 months later. And then he would deposit all of them at once.
Oh no.
Which I mean, like obviously, theoretically, you don't have to spend that money in the meantime. It's just very like nerve wracking to know that at any point your bank account is going to be decimated by like 4 rent checks.
How long ago was it that you were paying rent checks? Like, I've only ever done e-transfers.
Yeah, this was when I was living in Calgary with my mom and my grandma. Our landlord was very old.
You were like paying rent checks to your grandma and she was doing this to you.
Just causing me the most stress of anyone in my life. Mm-hmm. No, we had this like old man landlord. I don't even want to go into it. He was like the landlord's special poster boy.
All right, fair enough. We are back to the... good old Ontario boy tier. We have Kay Fitzsimmons. I think this is the one patron that has not joined the Discord at all. Mm. So you're on your own for this compliment.
Kay Fitzsimmons. Well, Fitzsimmons, I'm pretty sure means bastard son of Simmons.
What?
That's the thing. Fitz means bastard.
What?
Yes.
No.
Yes. If someone has a last name that starts with Fitz, it means that they were born out of wedlock.
My name is Bastard Steve. Like,
yeah.
Incredible.
Specifically,
all right.
Bastard son of someone. So,
yeah.
So shout out to, you know, wearing that status loud and proud. I don't know if you are the bastard son of someone or if that's an inherited name, but good on your family for keeping that.
Well, when you think about it, everyone is the bastard son of someone.
I mean, are they?
Well, because marriages are performed ultimately by the state. And of course, the state is a corporation whose statutes I don't recognize. As a freeman on the land, I am insistent that these are all fake marriages.
Jesus
so,
fucking
yes.
Christ.
We didn't give a compliment to Oil Drum, but my compliment is, hey, thanks for not making me do all the work of drawing shit. So my compliment. Good name, Kay Fitzsimmons. I hope I'm not doxing people by reading out their names. I'm just reading out the names as they're provided on Patreon.
I feel like most of my compliments were just good name. So If you didn't like your compliment today, say something memorable in the Discord so that I have some more material for next time.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we will be thanking every patron every episode like this.
That's what everyone logs on for. 20 minutes of talking about other people.
All right. So now down to the $2 tier. This is Will. Will, I believe, is Comrade Trash. Also, I think, came over from Bunta Vista. So at least I'm getting my money's worth on that Patreon.
Comrade Trash, we had a small interaction in there where I found a picture of a cartoon of Oscar the Grouch with, like, I think a hammer and sickle on his garbage can.
On his can, yeah.
On his can. And Comrade Trash gave me a thumbs up or told me they liked it. So I appreciate you responding to my memes. It's more than my husband does most of the time. So thank you for boosting my confidence. Yeah,
critical support to our comrade. Mm. Next up, we have another $10 US good old Kingston boy patron, William Gascoigne. So this is my friend Billy from high school. Yeah, so I was messaging people on my way out of the country that my phone number is going to be no more. And he's like, what are you up to? And I was like, oh, I'm doing this podcast. So he immediately joined up to the highest tier of the Patreon and then started listening to it.
Hell yeah,
now,
Billy.
Yeah. Now, again, it should be measured against. This is our $21,000 a month Christmas light salesman. So,
I mean, no one is obligated to, like, toss money at fucking people making podcasts. So
that's true. Unless you're rich, in which case, yes, you are.
There are people that probably need their money more than you do, Kelly.
Yeah, well, they need to buy more Christmas lights to sell. No, I'm saying I greatly appreciate the people who are, you know, very working class and are giving me their last dollar. That means, like, the world to me. When you're a goddamn rich fat cat, it's like, well, yeah, okay, now you're doing the bare minimum.
So my compliment is, Billy, congratulations on having the fortitude to have been Kelly's friend for this long. And also,
oh my God, especially when I was in high school. Holy fuck.
I feel that.
Yeah.
And yeah, thanks for spreading the wealth. Thanks for making this commie endeavor a success, ?
Yeah, I think he would appreciate me ribbing him. What I think he would not appreciate is if I brought up that if you Google his name, this was more true before search engines. I think if you scroll farther now. But he complained to me once that the first thing that came up when you Googled his name, under Billy Gascoigne, to be clear, was that he got Man in the Street interviewed by CBC over the guy from our high school who, like, shot a bunch of people and tried to flee to the US. There was, like, a nationwide manhunt and stuff. You remember that?
I didn't go to your high school, dude.
Yeah,
no.
But it was a national news story.
I don't know. I didn't watch the news when I was in anyway, high school.
Yeah, he got Man in the Street interviewed over, like, hey, you grew up in this guy's street. What do you think about him murdering three of his coworkers? Very awkward position to put someone in.
Three of his coworkers?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's an armored car guard.
Oh, so, okay. So this wasn't when you were in high school.
No, this was like 5 years later. This was I think this was after I graduated university because it happened at the U of A.
Okay. So I was like, that's a wild fucking move to go up to like a high school student and be like, how do you feel about this shooting?
No, they just went to his childhood street and was like, hey, you grew up knowing this guy?
That's also a weird vibe.
Yeah, it's an incredible interview because they're like, oh, have you like kept up with him? It's like, no, we kind of lost touch. But like, did you know he was working as an armored car guard? And he's like, no, but it doesn't surprise me. And they said, why? And then he said, because he would have gotten to have a gun, which is one of the most incredible responses of all time. If they had TikTok back then, he would have gone so viral. Incredible stuff. Thank you for joining the Patreon. He's going to immediately withdraw because I told that story. And then next we have, I don't know how to pronounce this, Marthis? Marthis. What do you think?
Marthis.
Marthis Vineyard. This is Shork in the Discord, so we can just say Shork.
Shork.
Yeah.
I know that the name sounds familiar, the Shork part in particular. I can't remember any interactions with them.
Well, they essentially joined the Discord via Quinn. So this is another one where you can just give the compliment flowing backward through the stream.
That does feel a little bit like the people with the most visibility are getting all of the, reaping all the benefits of their platforms. So congratulations, Marthis, on stumping me completely on how to pronounce your name.
All right. And our last one is Aoife. Aoife also came over from the Bunta Vista Discord, but is an Edmontonian, a prisoner of Edmonton, as we say. And I have actually met Aoife in real life at Freezerburn. So that's fun. That's a fun little fact.
For some reason, I was reading it EFA, and I thought it was an acronym for something.
No, it's like the it's like an Irish Gaelic kind of name. A-O-I-F-E.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I did not know that that's how it was pronounced. But I mean, Gaelic names always threw me for a loop.
Yeah, we're not famously good at reading Irish over here.
Not to be redundant, but terrific name, Aoife.
Hell yeah, why not? Anyway, the last two were good old Ontario boys. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, okay, that's us thanking our patrons, so I think we'll just move on to... I didn't mean to replay the thing, but... That's the end of
Compliments Corner.
And you think I press right, it'll go to the next slide?
Uh-oh. So, is it another hockey episode?
Shit, I gave it away. The goal was to say, Nicole, what do you think we're talking about today?
I did, the hockey did cross my mind, but I was like, oh, maybe it's just like dog shit people or childhood memories being destroyed. But I'm glad that you've chosen me, the person in your life who is probably the least interested in hockey, to be the catch-all for your hockey episodes.
Yeah, well, see, here's the thing. We talked about this a little bit during the Tim Horton episode, which is that you have a familiarity with hockey. You've been immersed in it. You've sat through games of it. You get the gist of it, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, so like I said, I'd originally written this script for an actual like avowed hockey fan.
Mm-hmm.
The advantage of having you here is that you are kind of a good bridge between a lot of our listeners I know are like absolutely not at all hockey fans. Like mm-hmm. I had someone recently say, everything I've learned about hockey, I just learned from this Rashard Riot series.
Okay.
So that's the level that a lot of people are on. So you being kind of a halfway point between like hockey knowers and like just complete and utter non-knowers, mm-hmm. I think is useful. But it wasn't just hockey that we talked about. The first part was about hockey a little bit. Second part was about drunk driving. Third part was about...
the two core points of Albertan culture.
Yeah. And then the third was about like a weird business guy. And the fourth was about like shitty frozen donuts. So there's...
Sorry, the four core points of Alberta culture.
But so you accidentally saw the next slide, which does have some hockey players on it. So that is sort of the connection here. But I would say that the theme we really got at, especially with those first two episodes, was like hockey players... bad vibes, questionable decisions. Is that fair to say?
Yes. Sounds like my entire high school experience.
Yeah. So you're really primed for this.
Okay. Perfect.
I think this is why you're actually, like I said, it's serendipitous. I was really excited to, I've been sitting on this script since October is the thing.
Oh boy.
I wrote it a long time ago and then the guest wasn't able to do it. And then I was like, this is probably too long anyway for a person I don't know, but I can force Nicole to do whatever I want.
Good Lord.
And I became excited, so I saved it until I was going to be in a room with you and I could subject you to all this. So let's quickly recap the hockey players we've discussed on Canuck as a Slur to date. You've got Tim Horton, bad vibes, questionable choices, vaguely beloved figure, number 59 greatest Canadian. We got Maurice Richard, questionable vibes, bad choices, extremely beloved figure, number 23 greatest Canadian. And Wayne Gretzky, increasingly terrible vibes and choices, formerly beloved figure, number 10 greatest Canadian.
Oh, we're not doing
I recorded
Gretzky?
That one. It's not out yet.
Fuck. I was like, at least Gretzky, I can like, I know some things about. He's like the guy, but okay, go on. Don Cherry, question mark?
We'll see.
Oh, no.
No one we'll be talking about today made the greatest Canadian list, and I don't know if any of them can be called a beloved figure. That's because today, I want to open with the question... I'm just letting it hang on you a little more.
Oh, okay.
Who is the most hated figure in the history of hockey?
Oh, shit. I don't know.
To get at that, I want to start with a video clip.
Samuelson goes to the corner and he got nailed by both players. Now, Domi was taking a penalty there for that play. He goes to the front of the net. Samuelson's got a hold of his stick. Still a hold of it. And then here's what the next play that happened. They're in front. Just a flat-out sucker punch. That's brutal. I mean, Ulf Samuelson has done a lot of things in his career, too, and some of them have been brutal.
Oh, he's out cold. Yeah. He is not getting up.
And knocked him out cold. That's brutal.
So do you want to describe to most of our listeners at this point, they're just on audio, they're not on YouTube, so do you want to describe what happened?
Okay, so I missed, or maybe didn't miss, but I kind of... got distracted and don't know exactly what happened in the first part, but I believe this guy got checked by two players at once.
Mm-hmm.
They come around towards the front of the net and the guy in the Leafs jersey just turned around and just fully punched a guy in the blue jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his glove came off and he,
as people in the YouTube comments pointed out, he really elegantly flicks his glove off and punches him, sucker punches him in one really fluid motion.
Did he go under the visor?
Yeah.
Okay. So he punched him under the visor and the guy just fell straight backwards, like cartoon style onto his back. And then is just laying on the ice when the refs come over to check him out. He is not moving. He is not getting up.
Yeah. So Ty Domi, the guy in the Leafs jersey, rode this opponent into the boards with another one of his teammates and then kind of like shoved the guy in the ice a few times and was getting a penalty for that. And then they skated to the front of the net and then he just decked him.
I didn't catch it. Was there anything that the other player like did to defend himself?
Well, Ty Domi, the man throwing the punch, he was controversial in his time, but he was not the most hated man in hockey.
Oh, is the most hated man in hockey the guy on the ice right now?
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, I can see how acting like that would get you the most hated man, but no. Oh God, did this guy deserve it?
The man he punched out, however, was frequently given that label, most hated man in hockey. He was probably best known for his many knee-on-knee hits, at least two of which were said to have ended other players' careers.
Oh boy.
He was also noted for violently spearing other players with his stick, including Domi.
Spearing? Like in like joust style?
Yeah, like when you kind of stab someone with the blade of your stick, that's spearing. It's considered a dick move.
Oh, I wonder why.
Yeah. So there was one particular highlight of him spearing this guy that punched him like the previous spring. He either speared him in the nuts or the gut. It's really hard to tell, but he goes down like a sack of bricks. So
how many months between the spearing and the...
This is going from memory here, but I think the spearing was in like March of a given year. Oh, you know what? I think it was a year and a half, actually.
Oh, so this guy, Domi held a grudge.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, fair. Okay, I changed my mind. I'm kind of excited about this episode because it sounds like it's more about like bitchy drama than it is about actual hockey players. And I'm kind of happy about that.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go with it was a year and a half before. This thing we're seeing is in October, and so it was like the season opener pretty close. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking that he had done it over revenge of like, that was the next time he played him. But let's go with a year and a half, and if that's wrong, I'll edit in a correction.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're right. He's holding a grudge. Now, what Domi claimed was that it because he'd repeatedly called him a dummy.
Oh, I mean, was he just mispronouncing his name a little? that's an honest mistake.
Yeah. As you would probably assume, possibly the most aggressively, viciously, senselessly violent man to ever play the game was named Ulf Samuelsson, and he was from Fagersta, Sweden.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
The Swedes just coming over to fucking fuck up our guys?
Yeah. So, yeah, Samuelsson is, I believe, the most penalized European player to ever play the game.
Dang.
Yeah.
And there was Don Cherry saying that Swins and Swedes didn't know how to fucking be tough on the ice.
Yeah. Samuelsson was such a notoriously violent repeat offender that even generally thoughtful, concussion-minded people, some of whom may even post in our Discord, are happy to say he absolutely deserved that. Like, that's the kind of guy he was.
Oh, boy.
Everyone agrees he deserved that. Like, it's not okay to sucker punch someone and probably give them two concussions because he punches him in the face, knocks him straight to the ground, and he hits his head on the ice when he goes down.
Mm.
And no one is mad about it.
Even the goalie looks kind of like indifferent.
Yes. Yeah. So we'll get to that in a sec.
Oh, okay.
So you know who also agrees with that?
We're going to show it again. All right.
Donnie.
But you never know about this. Look at him going down. Oh, my goodness. This is what happened. I mean, the guy is such a faker. You saw him when the guy cross-checked him. Now, watch. Like a little thing. I mean, you, as Harry said, it's a pretty good one like that. And he lays there. You never know when he's faking.
So what we saw there was the exact same clip. And even as Samuelsson is getting knocked the fuck out with a sucker punch, Don Cherry is accusing him of faking it?
Totally.
Because he hated Ulf Samuelsson. And he was correct, too. It's one of those times you have to agree with Don.
I mean, why did he hate him, though? Because that is also...
So, to kind of get back a little bit into the Don Cherry worldview, like, if you skate really hard at a guy and put your shoulder into his head and knock him the fuck out, that's, like, that's a clean, hard hit. And it's, like, mm-hmm. It's only the visors that injure them. But it's considered a clean hit because you lead with your shoulder. What Samuelson would do is like, again, knee on knee hits. Like you imagine your knee going towards someone else's knee and slamming full speed into each other.
Jesus Christ.
And it's usually the hitter whose knee is braced. Yeah. Like it's genuinely a thing that can end someone's career. Cause that will fuck your knee up in such a comprehensive way.
Okay. It wasn't just cause he was a dirty European. It's
no, because okay, he was legitimately arguably things. The dirtiest okay. player ever to play the game. Jesus like top Christ. Three for sure.
Oh boy.
Yeah. There are other players who reach this level. For the hockey heads listening, Matt Cook is another name that will cause a visceral reaction when they hear it. Cook was more of an elbow to the head guy, but regardless, this is another instance where we must offer critical support to Don Cherry. Don loved to bitch about guys from the safety of his studio, but this is the only time I know of that he went down to shout directly in a player's face.
I mean, other than when he was a coach.
All right, so this is kind of in the part of the arena that's like, I don't know, I would call it like backstage. Like it's under all the seats. It's where the players walk through if you ever watch that footage before the game. So this is Don Cherry standing directly in Matt Cook's face yelling at him. And it's really satisfying.
Well, you upset Daddy Don.
This is like a 2011 ass. I think this is even earlier than that. This is like an old like flip phone video.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
But you can it's hear like over the just all the cacophony, like the Don Cherry voice peeking out.
Oh, yeah. Here comes the finger.
Yeah.
You got to get that finger up in his face. He can't even see where you're pointing now. It is like if I was analyzing this as like a alpha bro podcaster, I would be like, oh, yeah, their body language is really showing that Don is the alpha here because he's facing him head on and Cook is kind of half facing away like demurely. He's like really showing his belly.
Yeah, drawing the green lines on it.
Yeah.
But like these guys are so close that their suit lapels are touching each other's suits.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like to give you an idea. So lest anyone say that, you know, that Don would never actually speak up to a player to his face. This is the one time he did it. And again, this guy, massive piece of shit, absolutely deserved it.
So this is Cook. This is not the guy that we're talking about. This is not Wolfenstein.
It was not Wolfenstein, no.
Okay.
No, the reason I actually found this clip was because I thought it was actually Cherry yelling at a different player we're going to talk about, but it wasn't. And I was like, you know, I want to throw it in there because really Matt Cook was the Ulf Samuelson of his day. They're just horrible, horrible people. And they never should have been allowed to stay in the league. But it's just fun to watch Don yell at this guy. So those are like dirty, violent players.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to spend much time on dirty and violent players in this series because they just aren't shitty in a very interesting way. But one thing, so you already pointed this out in that whole sequence of Ulf Samuelson getting knocked out with a cheap shot. And if you watch the entire sequence, you can kind of get a better sense of it. His teammates, all of them, like only sort of half-heartedly skate over to confront the assailant and they just move on from it really quickly.
They're like, that makes sense.
Yeah. Like you've surely watched a game where somebody gets a cheap shot. Like the sucker punch is a cheap shot.
Mm-hmm.
You've surely watched a game where someone gets cheap shotted and everyone, like they will tear your head off for doing that.
Yeah.
Like
if somebody usually the whole team gets into a fight. It ends up being like kind of a brawl.
Yeah. Like if somebody had sucker punched Connor McDavid like that, like they would get murdered on the ice.
Yeah.
So it really speaks volumes that Domi just kind of got away with it. Like he got suspended, but yeah, he didn't have to fight anyone. Like he didn't even have to get into one of those ceremonial token fights.
Yeah. Yeah. The refs didn't have to pull anyone off him. They were just like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah. So that I think is the mark of a truly hated player. They're hated by their opponents. They're hated by most fans. They're hated by Don Cherry and hated by their own teammates.
Mm-hmm.
All those traits apply to the man I want to talk about next. But what sets him apart is that players like Ulf Samuelson and Matt Cook were hated because their violent play was so egregious to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
This next guy, on the other hand, was not exactly a particularly dirty player from most of what I've seen. He did take penalties, but he was not notorious for these kind of elbows to the head, knee on knee stuff. No, he was the most widely hated man in hockey in his day because he was such an annoying fucking cunt.
Oh, no.
Nicole, have you heard of a player named Sean Avery?
Oh, I have heard that name before.
It's familiar.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm very excited to tell you about Sean Avery. We really are at an hour, so I'm actually just going to cut this off and call this part one.
Okay.
Thank you so much for joining me, just to thank the Patreons and get a little preamble on some of the shittiest men in hockey. Do you have anything you want to plug?
Sure. Listen to this show that you're listening to right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then also just like go outside sometimes. It's good for you.
It is good for you. And I've already plugged the Patreon. Like I've said, if you join the Patreon, I appreciate it. If you are considering it. Please do. It will make a huge difference in my ability to navigate the next few months of my life. And I'm going to give a shout out to the people who have their own shows on our Patreon that you can check out. So Carrie and Tamarack do Shawinigan Moments. It is also about kind of a different cross-section of Canadian culture and history, really. So that's a wonderful show. Please check that out. Tanner does Beyond the Breakers, a podcast about ships, wrecks, loss, and lessons learned at sea with his brother Taylor. It's fantastic, very well done, informative. So go give that a listen if you want a lot of stories about boats and to suddenly develop an interest in boats you never realized you had. And then I think the only other person with a podcast here is Quinn. So check out Failure to Launch. It is about space disasters. What more do you need to hear? Space disasters. What a good time.
Listen to the Leica episode if you want to be very sad.
Yeah. I mean, most of the episodes are good at making you sad or angry. That's kind of the nature of disasters. That's all I got. And again, you can join our Discord for free if you want to come talk to us about the episodes. The link to everything, to our socials, is in the description to wherever you are watching or listening to this. And with that, Nicole is going to say our catchphrase and we'll go.
Hell yeah. Je m'en calisse.
Very nice. Canuck is a Slur is an independent collaborative effort to present a critical, progressive perspective on Canadian history and culture. Drop them. To make consistent, high quality content, we need your support. Let's tangle. Head on over to patreon.com/Canuck is a Slur to sign up. Beauty. If you're still on the fence, well, here's the sales pitch. Patrons at the good old Canadian boy level unlock expanded access to our Discord server, including sneak peeks at upcoming episodes. Let's go! Patrons at the good old Ontario boy level will also get into our archive of bonus content, which includes an extra episode every month. Patrons at the good old Kingston boy level get to commission a free piece of bad art every month as well, in addition to further special Discord privileges.
Oh, how she loves the Stanley Cup. Hockey man is what I am. Let's go! Listen to what I say. Play that game the Canadian way. Hockey man is what I am. Let's go!
We'd love for you to come and follow us on our various socials, which you can find linked in the episode description. You can also see any further links for our guests and co-hosts there as well. The creators of this work would like to acknowledge the Indigenous peoples across the continent that had their homes stolen, land broken up by arbitrary borders, cultures suppressed, languages banned, children kidnapped, and who were subjected to many other forms of colonial violence. We also acknowledge the many treaties broken and still unceded territories across Turtle Island. Thanks for listening, eat the rich, and happy trails to you.